The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff and management. Discussion of specific points and general topics on this program are not meant to be taken as specific professional advice. Please check with your doctor on these issues.
Welcome to Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. Your host is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. Stay tuned as we examine different aspects of holistic wellness. Here is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum.
Hello and welcome to Your Holistic Health, coming to you from the studios of Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, holistic clinical pharmacist of RX Integrative Solutions. On today's program, we'll be talking with Mike Jauer about a book that he wrote with a colleague, Dr. Mark Mikazi, and the book is entitled Your Emotional Type. Should be a very interesting interview. The show has been pre-recorded in advance. Each week, Your Holistic Health presents evidence-based practical tips on how to integrate body, mind, and spiritual principles into everyday living. We'll turn to scripture to give us perspective on every discussion that's focused on wellness and prevention, because we believe that God is a central part of the healing process. In the news this week, I have a question for you. What do eggplants, apples, cucumbers, potatoes, and pears have in common? Well, the obvious is that they're fruits and vegetables, but what I'm looking for is, frankly, the power of their peels. It turns out we should probably be eating the peels of all of these fruits and veggies after we wash them, of course, or buying organic is a better choice, end quote. Because there's value in those peels. For example, the eggplant's purple outside contains an antioxidant that's known to have heart protective qualities. Apples have antioxidants that reduce inflammation in our tummies. That's pretty cool. So if you've got stomach trouble, you might want to eat more apples. And they also, interestingly, have a constituent that lowers your appetite. Cucumbers boost bone health because they contain vitamin K in their peel. Potatoes have vitamin C, potassium, and iron in that peel. And finally, pears, again, potassium, vitamin C, and another antioxidant called chlorogenic acid. So again, if you have the opportunity and you enjoy those fruits and vegetables, don't throw away those peels. Try to eat them and increase your nutritional value. Now it's time to introduce our guest. Michael Jauer is an emotion researcher and writer that's based in the Washington, D.C. area. He's been investigating the mind-body basis of personality and health for over 15 years, and he comes to us tonight as co-author of a very interesting book entitled Your Emotional Type. Welcome, Michael, to Your Holistic Health.
Oh, Kathy, it's a pleasure.
Well, tell us, what prompted you to write this book with Dr. Mikazi?
Well, very simply, emotions have a great deal of nutritional benefit, you might say. We both know Mark from his background in working on complementary and alternative therapies, and my own from researching emotion and consciousness over the last several years. We've been collaborating, and we both know that emotion has a lot to teach us. And we had worked together on a book called The Spiritual Anatomy of Emotion a few years ago, and we looked at people with extraordinary sensitivities and sort of the nexus between emotion and spirituality. And so a lot of the people that we were talking to who consider themselves highly sensitive in a number of ways have also a number of different health conditions, chronic conditions, illnesses such as migraine, irritable bowel syndrome, chronic pain, chronic fatigue, so forth. And we realized that there are very definite connections between their style of processing emotions, how they literally feel their feelings, and these types of health conditions. And that's what produced the current book, Your Emotional Type.
Well, I must say it's an intriguing, I guess, very unique and intriguing perspective that's not written about commonly and, in fact, bubbled up on my radar screen because I think the mind-body connection sometimes assumes that the emotions are left out, and frankly, they're very integrally entwined, are they not?
Well, yes. The way people, at least scientists or philosophers, used to understand human beings is summed up in what Descartes said, which is, I think, therefore I am. And I think that's very wrong, actually. The more that science looks at emotions and looks at the way people are put together, the more it becomes clear that feelings are really paramount. People like to think that we're thoughtful creatures, that we kind of act rationally. But as anybody who opens the daily newspaper can tell you, that's far from the case. And even though feelings aren't rational, they're a huge part of who we are. And there's a great deal of science that shows how integral feelings are to our existence and how much they really connect different parts of ourselves, the psychological, the biological, the physiological, and the spiritual.
You know, for many, many years, I've been fascinated by the different ways individuals can process their emotions. And we've all heard about the personality type that tends to, I guess, quote unquote, stuff their emotions under the carpet or just deny emotions to not have to deal with them. Others perhaps are more vocal, maybe are very external and very free to express, maybe in a superlative fashion, appropriately or otherwise, their emotions. But there are other subtle ways, I believe, that can probably be a way that someone's trying to process, maybe a subconscious way, such as overeating or even overscheduling, or I've recently read about multitasking being a way to avoid dealing with our emotions. What do you think about all those, Michael?
That's all quite true, Dr. Kathy, that those are all ways, some of the ways that people handle emotions. And the stronger the emotions, obviously, the stronger sometimes people feel that they need to keep them at arm's length, some people anyway. There probably is many different ways to handle feelings as there are people. And that's one result of our research. One big insight, probably the biggest insight that we have, is that people vary in how they handle feelings. And it's a matter of nature as well as nurture. There's a genetic inheritance that we all have, and how we're raised very much helps to form how we typically handle feelings that are related to everyday situations. The other insight from our book is that it's not just the ways people overtly handle feelings or try to distance themselves. It's what's really happening on a biological level, and that ties in, you know, very closely with the types of health conditions that we're looking at.
Mm-hmm. Other conditions might include anxiety or fears. There could be worry. I know I tend to be a worrier. I don't know why, but we look at scripture that tells us in Matthew 6:34 that we shouldn't be anxious about tomorrow, that God will take care of our tomorrows, that we should live one day at a time. And in Matthew 6:27, we cannot add any time to our life by worrying about it. And finally, in John 14:27, I love this. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. I find tremendous comfort in those verses.
Well, that's very definite wisdom, and it's based on really an understanding, a very full understanding of what human beings are about. The problem is in our society, especially today with the advent of all sorts of electronic communication and media saturation, people are more stressed than they ever have been, simply because there's so much coming at them. When you look at all the tweets and Facebook postings and updates that people get, especially younger people on an ongoing basis, it's thousands of these small communications, and they all convey a little bit of, you know, something that's going on with their friends or their acquaintances, family members, and we relate to one another on a very, you know, emotional level, even if it's electronic. And so people are suffering from overload. Mm. This is why we're all more in need of really the very traditional wisdom that comes from the Bible, that comes from people over the centuries that have been inspired to write things that are very true about human nature. And that really flows from having their feet on the ground and not being stressed out when they convey this wisdom that comes down to us.
Well, I think describing one's emotions is oftentimes a barrier to moving forward through them or processing and healing if one is looking for that as an endpoint. I remember as a small child feeling things but never being able to put a name to it because no one ever talked about that in our family. We were very stoic Germans, still are in many ways. And I thought, you know, interestingly, if one could just say, when you're anxious, your stomach will gurgle, and just put a name to a face. But oddly enough, I turned to music early in life as the language that expressed my emotions best and help me manage them. What do you think about that before we go to break?
There is a huge amount of investigation that is disclosing just what about music, that it conveys emotions very easily. You know, human beings, more than any other species, we're musical creatures, and it's so integral to who we are. Music and emotion go hand in hand. And as far as, you know, you're growing up, for example, in a stoic family, that's certainly the rule for many people around the world, probably, you know, Northern Europeans first and foremost, but there's a very definite heritage that besides the genetics that people grow up with. And there's some very easy hints and tips that once you become aware of your emotional type, your style, then you can get a better grasp on what it is that you're feeling, which is kind of important to living your life.
And I guess it might be important to mention that we're not placing judgment on any of these styles. I think everyone has one's comfort level. We're just simply trying to, I guess, encourage stretching and growing. Would that be a good way to look at this?
Yes. In fact, we'll talk a little bit more about this, but the very non-judgmental framework that we use is called the boundary spectrum. It's looking at people who handle feelings on a spectrum from very thin boundaries where a lot gets to them very easily and quickly to thick boundaries where things might get to them, but they just don't know it.
So you're going to ask us for a just right boundary, I'm guessing, right?
Probably being in the middle is helpful in some respects, but as you point out, there's no one best way of handling feelings, and it's just the way you are. They're not positive or negative. That's just the way you are.
I'm glad we're all different. I think it makes life so much more interesting.
It sure does.
If you're just joining our show, this is Your Holistic Health. We're talking with Michael Jauer about a book that he co-authored called Your Emotional Type, a very interesting book. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Your Holistic Health is brought to you by RX Integrative Solutions. Many Americans are taking prescription medications and wish they could find a way to take less. 42% of us have tried some type of complementary or holistic practice, including vitamins and other dietary supplements. Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions provides personalized consultations to review your prescription medications and dietary supplements and helps you find a simpler, back-to-basics way to health. She'll work in partnership with your primary care physician. For more information or to sign up for a consultation, visit rxintegrativesolutions.com. That's rxintegrativesolutions.com.
We're back, and you're listening to a broadcast of Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. I'm Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, your host for the evening, and tonight we're talking with Michael Jauer, co-author of a new book entitled Your Emotional Type. Well, Michael, before the break, we started to talk about the concept of boundary building, and you mentioned that in your book, you have a questionnaire, and I would love to hear you elaborate a little bit more about why we need boundaries and how that prevents or helps to prevent chronic illness in our emotional selves throughout life.
Sure. Well, the boundary concept is something that we've borrowed with the permission of a researcher named Ernest Hartman up at Tufts University in Boston. He's been working on issues of personality for years and years. He started studying people who had nightmares and realized that certain people are more prone to nightmares than others. They also tend to be people who dream in color, obviously who remember their dreams very vividly and in fact are disturbed by them in the middle of the night, can't get back to sleep and so forth, whereas other people can hardly remember their dreams at all, aren't troubled by them in the least, and when they do remember them, they tend to be in black and white and fairly unremarkable. So he started looking at characteristics of people on a spectrum that he called boundaries, and he realized that there's a characteristic way that people tend to react to stimuli, especially emotional stimuli, and that led to his boundary questionnaire, which, again, with permission, we present on our website, which is www.youremotionaltype.com. And visitors to the website can take that little quiz. It takes under 10 minutes to indicate your answers. It's scored for you automatically, and then you can see where you fall on the boundary spectrum. And as I say, it really relates to differences between people that, you know, you see every single day. It just puts a sort of a helpful name and face, you might say, on just different styles of feeling that people have.
Awareness is so healing throughout life, just to know that others are different. God made us all in His image. He's created a very beautiful kaleidoscope of emotions, of processing emotions, of moving through our life journey. And I look to that, again, in a very non-judgmental way, to be a positive that we can grow from and learn from others who are different from ourselves and look for the common bonds, because after all, we're all part of the human family.
Yes, people sometimes think that certain feelings are good or bad, or expressing certain feelings is good or bad, and the fact of the matter is that all of our feelings are helpful. They evolve to keep us in mind of what we're going through, what's good for us or not good for us. So a feeling that sneaks up on you is not necessarily better or worse than a feeling that's overwhelming. It sort of depends what's going on in your life at that moment, who you're dealing with, and it's a way really of intuiting, what you should do, what you shouldn't do. People talk about intuition and gut feelings. This is all based on real physical input that we get from our bodies that tells us what's going on at any given moment and whether we should do X, Y, or Z in that situation.
Mm-hmm. Once again, the mind-body emotional connection.
Well, that's right. The term gut feelings is based on a literal fact that there is what scientists call the enteric nervous system. They call it the second brain. It's a below-the-belt nervous system residing in our gut, which transmits a lot of information actually upstairs to the brain, the first brain, as opposed to the second brain in the gut. And so when people get butterflies and, you know, in a particular situation they're nervous or they have misgivings about something, that's based on real sensory information.
Mm. I would add, I think it's also the voice of the Holy Spirit in our still small voice area of the body, our gut, in a spiritual sense. And I think it's very important to listen to that voice. It's very wise most of the time.
Yes, the spiritual sense is very real as well, and it really is a source of inspiration that some people, I guess, are raised to or learn to pay attention to more than others. But it's certainly a facet of who everyone is, and if we give that more of its natural due, I think people would be living happier and certainly healthier lives as well.
I agree. Now I'd like to focus on a couple of questions that point you into the area of non-traditional medicine and some of the therapies that you have promoted in your book, and I'm so pleased to see that. I espouse that myself and hail you for including and applaud you for including them. You've called out a few, including biofeedback and meditation, yoga and hypnosis, and I'm just so curious, Michael, tell us, why did you select that particular list when there are over, gosh, I don't know, 200 or more different types of therapies that are practiced in the United States today?
Right, and around the world, I should say, as well.
Mm-hmm.
Many of these therapies, while you might say in some sense they're non-traditional, most all of them are based on very traditional wisdom and traditional practices in a variety of cultures around the world. We may know them, for example, as meditation or guided imagery, biofeedback, but The principles behind them are really timeless. They go back hundreds or thousands of years. So the therapies that we focused on, we sort of highlight as the Super Seven therapies. And you mentioned some of them. I'd add to that list, to round out the seven, there's acupuncture, hypnosis, you mentioned biofeedback, meditation, yoga, relaxation techniques, guided imagery. These are the seven that Dr. McCosey really identified as having the most solid data behind them as far as how they relate to the different health conditions and the different boundary types that we go on to describe in the book. So it's not that we called them out in preference to other types of treatments. In fact, there's a whole variety of somatic therapies, energy therapies, you might say, that are showing considerable potential in alleviating some of these illnesses. But these Super Seven are the ones that are the best documented.
And I would agree. I think each has a place. And interestingly, you'll find them written up in literature that isn't so much overlapping, but each has a different outcome or expectation or goal, with yoga being perhaps one of the more comprehensive of all of these. I still find it, I smile every time I think about acupuncture because it has really taken off in Cincinnati. I don't know about Washington, D.C., but with all of the energy components and the association with traditional Chinese medicine and different types of diagnostics that are very uncommon in Western thinking, still, it's bubbled up to the top, and that just tells me that it's got a lot of solid evidence behind it, especially for pain management, if not for other issues.
Well, very much, and I could say generally that not only are we in need of acupuncture here in the Washington, D.C. area, but given what goes on inside the Beltway, we're probably in need of the whole range of non-traditional therapies.
Well, maybe you should recommend them. Yeah, maybe you should recommend them to our president.
To the president and every member of Congress,
so he can promote them.
Pretty much everybody else around here.
Sure, there you go. There's another book in the making. Dear Mr. President.
I think so.
Okay. Well, we really should say, I guess, to be complete on this show, that there is a time in life when our emotions should be met with and dealt with a professional, such as a psychologist or a psychiatrist. There are things that aren't healthy, I suppose, is the best way to put that. And one example that comes to mind is post-traumatic stress syndrome. Many people coming back from the military have that condition, unfortunately, and do need to seek professional help to stay emotionally healthy. Do you agree with that? And if so, can you give me some other ideas on when it might be appropriate to triage?
Yes, well, PTSD is getting a great deal of attention for obvious reasons these days. People overseas and even people here at home that have been exposed to, you know, have been through emergencies, just something that's overwhelming or traumatic, some of them will contract PTSD, and that, you know, that's a condition that has reverberations potentially throughout a person's life if it's not addressed effectively. There are other conditions, though, that we mention in the book, address a little bit, such as fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, migraine headache, irritable bowel. These are all conditions, Dr. Kathy, that can in fact be triggered by emotional abuse, emotional neglect, or traumatic incidents from childhood. It's just that PTSD is sort of front and center right now, but there's a good amount of research tying these other conditions to earlier traumas. So in many cases, people would be well advised to get professional assistance. It's a matter of judgment as far as to what extent they're able to live with, grapple with, or otherwise work through the condition or the illness that they have, and of course to get a great deal of input from people close to them. Oftentimes, your own family and friends are better able than you if you're troubled by a particular illness or particular condition. They're able to see as well or better than yourself what's going on. And so, you know, if they recommend some sort of professional counseling or intervention, that should be really listened to seriously. Mm.
Many people avoid that because they realize they have to face their pain, and it's emotionally exhausting to go through talk therapy. But It's an incredible release when you can see yourself and you get to the other side of your issue. And so I just want to encourage our listeners, if any of this resonates with you today and you're afraid to take that first step, please don't. Please pray about this and ask God to walk beside you and help you get the help that you need so that you can experience the joy that you were intended to experience and laugh and have happiness in this journey, emotional and otherwise. Well, Michael, it's just about time to wrap up our show. And where can our listeners go to get a copy of your book?
Dr. Kathy, the website certainly is the best place to begin. It's www.youremotionaltype.com. There is the emotional boundary quiz that a visitor will see right off the bat, and they can just sort of peruse through the website and get a sense of what's in the book and how it can help them. And that's really the message, bottom line, that Dr. Mukozzi and I bring, which is that the different conditions that people often suffer with, they don't always have to get professional assistance. It's sometimes warranted, but there's a lot that they can do with these so-called mind-body therapies or complementary and alternative therapies that is low risk, low cost, low level of intervention, that has the promise of helping them based on the way that they handle strong emotions, tying into the different conditions that they're susceptible to.
Love it. And we want to send a message of hope. And I think your book does that. And thank you so much for writing that. And thanks so much for being a guest on our show tonight.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's time to wrap up our show with the quote of the week. And this one is about the unpredictability and the majesty of life, if you're open to it. It's by Edward Abbey. And I quote, "May your trails be crooked, winding, lonesome, dangerous, leading to the most amazing view. May your mountains rise into and above the clouds," end quote. I love that. It does have a message of hope. Thanks again to Michael Jauer for being our guest with us tonight. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. You are invited to my website online at rxintegrativesolutions.com for a library of health-related articles that I've written just for you. Please tune in again next week at this same time to hear Samantha Taylor talk about physical fitness on the next edition of Your Holistic Health. You are loved. Blessings and good night.
The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff, and management. Please contact your healthcare provider for specific professional advice on these topics.
Thank you for being a part of our discussion today. Please join Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum each Friday, 6 p.m., on Faith and Friends Radio for Your Holistic Health.